Amen. John 14, let's get in the scripture here for just a little while, and then we're going to pray, spend a season in prayer, and we'll say more about that in a moment. John 14, and let's read our verses. Can y'all hear me? Are we all right? John 14, look with me in verse number, let's start in verse number 18 tonight, because I want to reference this, pick a truth up out of verse number 18. I will not leave you comfortless. Notice what the Lord said. I will come to you. Amen. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he hears not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. I am in flesh. I am here before your physical eyes. And while I'm here, this is what I'm communicating to you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And we come back to the thought here and the phrase that we've been lifting and kind of focusing all these verses around is where Jesus said, and will manifest myself to him. How we need a manifestation of our Savior and of our Lord in these days in which we are living. I said on last week, threw it out quickly, I'll do so again, that the Bible, in speaking of the presence of God, it speaks of God's presence as a heavenly presence. There is his heavenly presence that our God is in heaven. Jesus referenced that in John 14 as the Father's house. And that is in that heavenly abode, that third heaven, the heavenly presence of our God. We know the scripture said the earth is his footstool and the heaven is his throne. And so where is God's presence? His presence is in heaven, his heavenly presence. And then the Bible speaks of his omnipresence. That is a fact. And when you come to consider the presence of God in the scripture, and our God, his presence is everywhere at all times. This is what David had in mind. I believe it's Psalm 139, as Brother Mike read to us just a moment ago earlier in the text, that David said, if I ascend into the heavens, thou art there, speaking to God. And if I make my bed in hell, lo, thou art there. He said, if I was to go into the very wilderness and fly away, I would find the presence of my God. And that is the omnipresence of God, that God is here in this place. And in one sense, God is here in this sanctuary. And he's also in the bar room, and he's also in the honky-tonks, and he's in the gutters, and he's in the valleys and on the mountains. God is everywhere at all times. That is his omnipresence. And that's one of the things and characteristics that make him God. And then there is his abiding presence. And that is that he abides in the life of every one of his children, every man, woman, boy, and girl that has been saved by the grace of God. They are in Christ, and Christ is in them. him. And he abides there and will ever abide there. That is part of the eternal life that we have. We would not be able to claim eternal life if the Lord was not living and abiding on the inside of us. And we could use the words of Christ, the words of Paul. Paul taught this and used some of the Old Testament scripture that the Lord said he would walk in us and would be in us. And we're thankful for his abiding presence. But John 14, 21 is different than his heavenly presence, his omnipresence, and his abiding presence. Here the Lord speaks of and teaches his disciples about his manifest presence. I will manifest myself to him. And that is that Christ is saying that I'm going to put myself on display. I'm going to make plain and openly clear, open and clearly visible to the eye and to your and make obvious to your understanding of who I am and all that comes when I come by. It means to make apparent, not obscure or difficult to be seen or understood. Literally, it implies I will be detected. I will be able to be seen and detected by those that have my commandments, that keep my commandments, that are in obedience to me. My Father's going to love them, and I am going to love them, and I will manifest myself to him. Ain't you thankful we have a Savior that is alive and able to manifest himself to his children and to his church? And we could speak a lot about that in deeper terms tonight. And we've been saying a few things about this phrase, I will manifest myself. And one of the things here we understand in this phrase is that Jesus does not manifest himself to everyone. This is a very particular individual of the family of God. And not everybody is going to enjoy the manifest presence of God, what he is promising to give. It is available to all. It is available to every child of God, but not everybody is living in and enjoying, we'll see tonight, that manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we understand, as the Lord is teaching here in this text, that Jesus cannot be seen by some while simultaneously being seen by others. And while he's manifesting himself, there are some that detect that and see the appearance of that, and they see the obvious understanding of what the Lord is doing. They clearly see it. It's open to them. And they have exhibited to them the person, and they are able to hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are others that though they're right next door, though there may be shoulder to shoulder or pew to pew to others, that cannot see the manifestation of the Savior. And we noted that the drawing line or the dividing line is that there are those that are of the world or those that are worldly or worldlings that cannot see the manifestation of the Savior. That's what he said, yet a little while, verse number 19, and the world seeth me no more. And so what he is saying is, they can see me now. I've taken on a robe of flesh. I've been walking among them. I've been doing miracles. I have manifest myself and my power and my love. And they're able to take that into view physically. But the day is coming, I'm leaving, and I'm going back to my Father. And when that time comes, the world and those of the world will not be able to see me anymore. Notice what he said, but ye see me. Those that are saved, those that are in tune to the presence of God, they are able to still see the Lord, not face to face, but faith to faith. We are able to take him into view tonight as he manifests himself to us. And so there are some that are seeing him right now. There are some that are under the same roof and in the same physical family that are able to see him, while others under the same banner of that roof do not have the ability to have seen the manifestation of the Lord.
Amen.
That is the dividing line of those that can see the manifestation of the Lord and those that cannot. It has to do with, what you are of. If you're of the Spirit and you can see it, if you're of the world, you cannot see it. You can squint, went back when I was young and my eyesight was bad, I could do that right there and it would kind of clear up my vision for a little bit. And, Brother Jack, I would do that to get a better view. You can do all those things and all the little tricks, but you will never spiritually see the manifest presence of God, amen, so long that you're of this world and worldly minded. And that kind of got us into some of the direction that we went on last week, where we dealt with hindrances. And we talked about hindrances that prevent us from being able to see the presence, that manifest presence of God. We took it right out of the text, verse 19 and 20 again, our relationship to the world. Our relationship to the world. That was supposed to have changed the moment we got saved.
Amen.
Yes, and we'll not even say no more about that. But your relationship to the world has a lot to do with whether or not you can take into view the manifest presence of the Lord. And then our relationship to the Scriptures in verse number 21. And then in verse 26, our relationship to the Holy Ghost. That you must be in tune to Him, walking in the Spirit of God, depending upon Him. For in Him you are taught all things, and by Him He brings all things to our remembrance and enables us to, amen, live a life in which the Lord can manifest His presence to us. And so the world, our relationship, the world, to the Scripture, and to the Holy Ghost. Now tonight, here's what I want to deal with. And it's all kind of forming an outline, and maybe some sermons are coming out of this in days to come. But last week we looked at hindrances. Tonight I want to look at expectances. Expectances. What do you mean, preacher? I mean the promises. What is Christ's promise when He manifests Himself to this man, to this woman, to this child of God? What is it that we can expect is going to flow from and bless our life from that manifestation of our Savior to our life or to our congregation or to our family, however the Lord is manifesting Himself? And I wrote these down. I'm actually going to work them backwards, how that I wrote them down. Because the first point's really where I want to park, and I want to do that on the last point. Number one, if you're taking notes, write it down this way. Here's an expectance that you can have. Here's what you can expect to find or know when the Lord manifests Himself. There is the expectance of the flow of His peace. When the Lord manifests Himself, it will always produce peace. It never produces nor allows anxiety to remain. Wherever He shows up and reveals Himself and reveals His Word and reveals Himself to His children, there will be a flow of peace such as you cannot find in this world. Amen. Amen. Now He's going to talk about the Comforter again in verse number 26. And thank God He is the Comforter. And I don't want to diminish the ministry of the Spirit of God. That is very vibrant and very much a part of where we are tonight. But notice what Jesus said in verse number 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Now this is a very clear black and white promise and declaration of the Lord about, listen, don't miss it now, about His abiding, sufficient peace to every child of God. The day you got saved, Christ put abiding, sufficient peace, amen, that you can tap into and that you can know and that you can live in this world. And I love what Jesus said. It ain't peace like that the world gives. You know that peace in the world, that it is something hard to find, if not altogether extinct in the days in which we live. If you could find some peace in this world, it would be short-lived. If you could find some peace in this world, you would not be able to get more than a drink or a sip or two, and then it would be gone, and it would be vanished, and you would be left again with anxiety and trouble and fear. And what Jesus said, amen, that your heart would be troubled and afraid. And so this is not the peace that we've been given. It's not the peace we've been promised. The peace that we've been promised is different than what you can find in the world. My peace, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And so in the face of Calvary, Jesus was not troubled. In the face of Calvary, in the face of betrayal, in the face of being forsaken, the Lord Jesus was filled with peace in this very hour of John 14. And so He is promising the same peace I'm displaying to you right now in the upper room is the same peace I'm going to give to you. I'm leaving it behind. I'm leaving you an example. I'm showing you that no matter what you're staring at, I'm about to preach, Brother Mike, no matter what you're staring at and what's staring back at you, I'm giving you my peace, and the way I am settled and the way I'm trusting my Father and the way that I'm facing what is before me is the same way you can. Amen. 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 What I want to make a connection to about this peace, you have it on the inside of you. Notice He's made the promise of abiding sufficient peace. But according to verse number 18, it not only is found in the Spirit who is called the Comforter in verse number 16, verse number 26, but notice it's found in the words of Christ in verse number 18, where the Lord said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so we understand the Spirit of God is on the inside. And He is a comfort to our heart. But we not only have peace and comfort of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I'll keep manifesting myself. I'll keep walking to where you are. I'll keep coming and giving you a word. I'll keep showing up in your life in the hour in which you need my peace and you need my comfort. You're not only going to find it in the Holy Ghost, but you're going to find it when I come and manifest myself to you. Amen. That's good preaching tonight. His peace flows like a river. It flows like a river, and being comfortless is past at a manifestation of our Savior. You say, preacher, I'm fretting. I talked with a man this week. I met a man this week that, and I made a new friendship this week, and I'm thankful to the Lord for that, and it ain't gonna be long. He and his family's gonna visit with us. I can't wait for you to meet John. And we was talking this week, and John told me this week, he said, I just get bogged down listening to the news and knowing what's going on in our government and knowing what's going on in our generation. And he said, I've got to just unplug sometimes because of how it troubles my heart. He said, I have to remind myself, the Lord's got to come by and remind me that He's in control. And what John was saying is, every now and then, I need the Lord to come to me and manifest Himself to me again and not leave me comfortless. I need that angst gone. I need that troubled heart to be put at ease. And it's only put at ease when the Lord manifests Himself to us. So if you are anxious tonight, what you need is the Lord to fulfill the promise, I will manifest myself to Him. Amen. I didn't mean to bog down there. Let me say number two. What is another expectance that we can have? The expectances that we have, not only the flow of His peace, but notice in verse number 21, the fervor of His passion. I love what Jesus said. It blows my mind. It's deeper than we could ever swim to the bottom of and probably ever understand outside of praying the Lord would reveal it to us. It must be experienced, no doubt, to have any level of understanding at all. But notice what He said, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Jesus said, I know those who love me because they have heard truth and they guard it and they keep it and they live it and they obey it. And he that loveth me, love showing up everywhere in this verse. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. Y'all catching what Jesus is saying? Now we could say tonight, generally, Jesus and the Father love the world. And we would be right, John 3:16. And we could say tonight, corporately, that the Father and the Savior and the Lord, they love the church. Jesus loved the church and He loved it so much that He gave Himself for it. But here Jesus is not describing a general love that the Father and the Son have for the world. And He's not even describing the corporate love that a Father and the Son have for the church of the living God. He is describing the personal love relationship as God our Savior manifests Himself to us and to those that He sees the evidence in them that they truly love Him. He says, I will begin to go beyond the general love and the corporate love. I will show to them that I love them personally. You say, I thought Jesus loved everybody, and He does. But in this manifestation of our Savior, there begins to be an understanding. There begins to be experiences that go beyond just you saying you love Him, but you're showing that you love Him. And it goes beyond the scriptural declarations in which He has said that He loves you, and you begin to see the evidence of that love in your life everywhere you look. When the Lord, here's how I wrote it down, when the Lord manifests Himself, it is always to them who love Him, so that He might love on them. Now, I'm interested tonight not in you saying you love Him. Jesus didn't say, I'd do this for those that say they love me. He said, I'll do this for those that are faithful and are obedient, and those that have stepped it up, and those that are the best in their ability are walking in the Word of God and in the boundaries that I have set and the commands that I have spoken. They evidence beyond what they say that they love me.
Amen.
And what that man's going to know is greater depths of the love of God than the world that I do love will ever be able to understand. And they will know greater and more personally and deeper and broader and higher and wider than even what the church can even comprehend and understand about the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is here when the Lord begins to manifest Himself. You know what Jesus is saying is going on here, Brother Jack? Here's what He's saying. When I manifest myself, what's happening is you're loving on me and I'm loving on you. It's getting personal. Have you ever loved on the Lord? Do you even know what I'm talking about? Have you ever experienced the Lord loving on you? Have you ever felt His embrace around your soul? Have you ever felt Him come down, amen, and spiritually, as it were, again to kiss you with the kisses of His mouth? Have you felt His hand hold your hand? Do you know what it is for Him to manifest Himself? Amen, when you're riding down the road, when you're sitting in the secret place and you're reading the Word of God, do you know what it is for the Lord to manifest Himself and to know and feel and experience a fervor of His passion for you?
Yes.
Hey, man. If you ever do, it'll change your life.
Yes.
If you ever do, it'll take you to another level.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever do, the casual will never satisfy you again. Amen. Because it is a fulfillment of His promise. And when I manifest myself to them, it will be a passion. It'll be fervent on their end. It'll be fervent on my end. And we'll meet in the middle, and it will be nothing more than the depths and the heat and the fire of a love between us.
Amen.
There's nothing like it in all the world. In fact, I'll never, I'm about to shout. Amen. Glory to God. I know He loved me when He saved me. I know, Brother Brian, He loved me when He saved me. Amen. I knew that He loved me in that hour. He had proven it on Calvary's Hill. He proved it in giving His life for an unworthy, unlovely, a vagrant of a sinner who deserved the flames of hell. And He shed His blood and gave His life. And I knew that He loved me. In the moment of salvation, I believe I can safely say I loved Him back. But the longer I was saved, Brother David, Brother Gerald, the longer I've been saved, I'll never forget it. It began to work in my life, and it began to teach me some things. It began to work in my life and give me some commandments. All them rules and regulations I hated, all of a sudden they began to be cleared up, and the fog was being lifted. And I said, He loves me, He loves me. The least I can do is pick up these commandments. You want me to live holy and separated and be different from an ungodly world, to live a life in distinction and separation and sanctification? My Lord, You loved me and You gave Yourself for me. And the love of Christ began to constrain me to pick up those commandments. I'll never forget. Amen. I've done that for several years, and I've done it because I knew the Lord loved me.
Yeah.
I knew that He loved me, and the least I could do after He saved my hell-deserving soul was to do the best I could to live the life He wanted me to live. Amen. I'll never forget it. We went off to Bible college, and the Lord was working on me and put me in a good local church, and a good local church pastor who preached the devil out of me. Amen. I'll never forget. Amen. The Lord began to work and began to move us here and there. And He's doing some schooling and discipleship in my life. I'll never forget. We wound up going to High Point, North Carolina, and we began to really just sell out to the Lord, lock, stock, and barrel. And we get in them midnight Saturday night prayer meetings. Hey, as a group of us men, we began to meet in them in that midnight hour. We'd meet in the church at about midnight, and we began to pray. And Brother Jack, I can remember praying in the midnight hour, and we would pray sometimes till 2 and 3, and sometimes into 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning, begging, Lord, we need You to show up. Lord, we need You to show out. Lord, we need You to manifest Yourself. And we just began to love on Him in those times. And I can remember in those days, oh dear God, like it was yesterday. I'm not talking about spooky things. I'm not talking about charismatic things. I'm talking about Brother Maurice. I'm talking about loving on Him and having paid the price and having proven that we're serious about what it was to live for Him. And some of the things I've felt and experienced and heard are not lawful for a man to utter. All I can say is He started loving on me and I got to love on Him and it changed my Christian life. Amen. I ain't ever been satisfied. Was I found in Him? Oh, you better get this. I found in a manifestation of my Savior to my life something far greater than what's out there in this world. This world said, "Well, your Christian home and your church, they can't compete with what's out here. We're not trying to compete with what's out there." I'm telling you today, what I have found when Jesus began to manifest Himself to my life, it does not compete. Listen, what the world has can't compete with what I found in Him.
Right.
Learn more about His passion and the depths of His love for an old wretch like me. The fact that He would love on me and let me love on Him has absolutely changed my walk with God. And I'm telling you, Brother Wells was right when he said we need to pray for a manifestation of the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I didn't mean to get bogged down on them points. That's point 3 and point 2. Here's point 1. I'm going to say a word about an expectance. And these expectances that we see, we've already looked at the hindrances. This is what we can expect out of our Lord when He shows up. This is what comes with Him manifesting Himself. Are you ready for this? If you're writing notes, write it down this way. You can expect the fellowship of His presence.
Amen.
I've got to deal with this. I've got to deal with it. And I've got to deal with it quick so we can spend a moment to pray. Notice what the phrase said. He said here, "He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him." Notice the phrase now, "and will manifest." I want you to really focus in on the last three words. "Myself to him." Brother Tim, myself, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, a one who died for us and gave Himself for us, and who is our guide and our teacher and our master. I will manifest myself to Him.
Amen.
This is the giving of Himself to us to know Him in His fullness. Need to say that again. This is the giving of Himself to us. Preacher, I thought when we got saved, He gave Himself to us. And I understand that the moment you got saved. Amen. Listen, the Lord moved in on the inside. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, all three made their abode. Amen. And they live in you. But Jesus is not talking about them just being having moved in. He's talking about that being manifest in your life or to your life. Amen. He said in verse number 23, y'all hang on, I want to give this to you how the Lord give it to me. If a man, verse 23, love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode. Watch it now. Not in him, with him. When you got saved, he made his abode in you. But since you've been saved, he's wanting to manifest himself with you.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I can tell y'all are getting it. With you. Make our abode with him. We will come unto him and make our abode. The word abode means and we're going to come and sit down. It implies a habitation. It implies that there's a fellowship. It implies there's an interaction, that there is an agreement that is going on between them and him. Amen. I thought about this. I believe he's speaking about when he manifests himself, Brother Jerry, when he manifests himself unto him, myself to him. Christ is really speaking of fellowship.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. He is saying, you'll know what it is to have fellowship. The fellowship of my presence.
Amen.
Do you know anything about that?
Amen.
You know what it is to sit down in the presence of the Lord? I thought about this at John the Beloved, he's the one writing of this account that... If anybody knew what it was to really know something about fellowshipping with the presence of Christ, John the Beloved did.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus had 12 disciples. The Bible said one of them was a devil.
Right.
One of them, he was a part of them, but he was not of them.
Right. Yes.
Now, of the other, of that 12, we understand that they're... We call them the inner circle. That's not a Bible term, but we use that because there are three men of that number of 12 that keep showing up that seem to be a little nearer to the Lord than the other nine are. And we know them as Peter and as James and as John. These three men got to behold things and hear things and experience things that the other nine seemed to be left out of because they walked in closer fellowship to the Master than the others. Now of the inner circle, there is one that we have come to know as John the Beloved. In the Gospel of John, that he never refers to himself by name. He just simply says, it's that disciple whom Jesus loved. In the upper room in which we're reading from and I would say devoting from, I guess we've done messed up and started preaching again, Brother Jack, but in that upper room, it is just John, the Bible said, that was that disciple whom Jesus loved that was leaning upon his breast.
Yeah.
He has gone way farther than the ordinary man. He has even gone further than those other two that are of the inner circle. And he is walking in sweet, sweet fellowship in the presence of the Master. In fact, John's fellowship with the Lord was so great that even in a moment and in an hour of weakness, when the shepherd was smitten and betrayed, and all the disciples of the Lord had forsaken him, the sheep were scattered. John did not tarry long yet in that forsaking of the Lord. Eventually and rather quickly, we know by the time the Lord Jesus Christ gives up his life on the cross, that disciple whom Jesus loved is there and beholding in fellowship the fellowship and the sufferings of Christ. And so if anybody knows anything about Christ manifesting himself and the fellowship of his presence, it comes with that. Do y'all believe tonight John the Beloved would be the one who knows about that? Amen. I know I'm going long. Y'all hang with me. Amen. Here's what I thought about. John not only penned the gospel of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ. We know it is the gospel according to John. John wrote other epistles later. The greatest of those is what we know as 1 John. It's amazing when you study the word manifest in the Word of God, and you put it into a search program or look it up in a concordance even, what you'll find is that the word manifest shows up over and over and over in the gospel of first, or the epistle rather, of 1 John.
Yes.
And in fact, he begins talking about the Lord manifesting himself. He's going to talk about manifestations of the Lord and then things that are manifest in our life as a result of that, or a lack of understanding the manifestation of Christ. And so when I consider this, Jesus said, I'll manifest myself to him. I need to learn from somebody who knows about that manifestation and the fellowship of that presence to let me know what does that fellowship of his presence do in my life. Does that make sense? So when you read 1 John and John starts talking about the Lord manifesting himself in the first manifestation, that's what Paul said, God was manifest in the flesh. And John is going to look back through 1 John and he's going to talk about how the Lord was manifest in the first time, and that's going to be in your life when he manifests himself to you.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if y'all can handle this. Y'all might start throwing babies back and forth to one another. 1 John chapter 1, look there. Let me throw this out. I'm out of time. Amen. I did the best I could. Brother Mike gave me a smirk when I said it wouldn't be too long. Him and Debbie always look at each other. Amen. Preacher, what is the fellowship of his presence? This is what you can expect when the Lord manifests himself. It's going to be there. And here's how you know it's there. There is and will be delight. Psalms would put it this way, in his presence, there is fullness of joy.
Yes.
Now that's Old Testament.
Yes.
That's Old Testament. If you can just get in his presence and fellowship in his presence, even in the Old Testament, David said, there'll be delight and joy and pleasures forevermore.
Yes.
Hey man, we're in the New Testament. We're on this side of the cross. We're on this side in the grace of God. How much greater should that joy and that delight be in the heart of a child of God that is walking in the fellowship of his presence? Notice what John the Beloved said. I got to hurry. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word, capital W, Word of life. For the life was what? Come on now, the life was what? Manifested. And we have seen it. And John just said, we heard it, we seen it with our eyes, we looked upon it, we have handled it with our own hands. It was manifested, we've seen it and bear witness that. Watch it, show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us.
Amen.
That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You know what John the Beloved said? He has manifested Himself to me. I've seen Him. I've heard Him. I've touched Him. I've walked beside Him. And I'm so excited and delighted about Him manifesting Himself to me. And I want to write to you and let you know He can do the same in your life. He can bring joy. I'm writing about this that your joy may be full. Now I understand tonight, the average Christian, if you look at their life, they look like they chew on sawbriars and drink X-Lac milkshakes all day long. Most of what the average Christian has tonight, hey man, I'll be honest, I don't want anything to do with it. John said, God has took me to another level. He's manifested Himself to me. I've walked with Him, I've seen Him, I've heard Him, I've touched it. Hey man, and John said, I'm not bored in my Christian life. I'm not bored serving the Lord. I'm saved and I'm not mad about it. I'm saved and serving. And I'm glad, and I want you to know something about Him manifesting Himself to you so your joy can be full.
Amen.
I tell you right now, I'm happy. Preach to me, preacher, I'm happy. I got joy. Yeah, you got a thimbleful of it.
Amen.
You know why we preach the way we do? You know why we're taking time to deal with, I will manifest myself? It's because as your pastor, I want you to know joy. I want you to be challenged to seek the face of the Lord. Amen. The one that I have seen and the one that I have heard and the one that I have handled it. And others that are in this place, you know the difference. Amen. You know the difference of those that, amen, evidently have been fellowshipping around something you don't know anything about. Amen. Don't get mad about that. Amen. Say, dear God, let me know. And let me know. Amen. That you can manifest yourself to me. Let me have that fellowship. Let me sit in your presence. Or can I see you in my eyes? And I hear you in my ears? Can I put my hands on you?
Amen.
Because if you ever do, it's going to mess you up so bad. No. It's going to mess you up so good.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Don't you feel sorry for me? Oh, he won't do this and he can't do that. I'm telling you, I'm doing everything I want to do. Hey man, I'm partaking of everything I want to partake of. I've just found in Him and fellowship in His presence. I've found a delight that until you have Him manifest Himself to you, you'll never know anything about it.
Yeah.
It don't make me greater. It don't make me better. It just means that, amen, don't mock me and don't run me down and don't look down on me and don't feel sorry for me for what I have found in a manifestation from my Savior.
Amen.
Well, if you're going to shout, that was your place to do it. Look with me in chapter number 3. Verse number 5, and ye know, ain't no doubt about this. Well, what he's about ready to say, there ain't no doubt about it. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. You know what John just said? When he manifested himself to us, it was clear and it was evident that when he manifested himself to deliver us from our sin. He didn't just come to make you feel good. He came to deliver you from what was ailing you, what was your real problem, what was your real issue. He came to deliver you from your rebellion. He came to deliver you from your pride. He came to deliver you from your lust. He came to deliver you from your lying tongue. He came to deliver you from your idolatry. Oh, I'm telling you today, John said when he manifested himself to us, it was to take away our sins. Don't you tell me you know anything about I will manifest myself to him. A master manifesting himself to you if it ain't delivering you from your sins.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Boy, this is good. I need to back up and preach this on Sunday morning. The fellowship of his presence ain't just there to put delightful goosebumps up and down your spine. He manifests himself, there'll be an expectancy of fellowship of his presence that will bring deliverance. When's the last time he took anything away from you? Oh, I need to say that again. When's the last time he took away something from you? Some of us need him to take away that. Got some things down in there, some bitternesses, some malice, some hard feelings. Amen. Some Phariseeism. Need the Lord take. When's the last time he took anything away from you? I tell you, I read my Bible and I pray and I know. Listen, it ain't doing you a hill of beans if it ain't taking away sin out of your life. Amen. It gets even deeper than that. Look with me just a few verses down. He that committeth sin is of the devil. I didn't say it. That's the Bible. We might need to, Brother Mark, put that on the sign after youth revival. He that committeth sin is of the devil. That ain't just the people in the honky-tonks. That's some of y'all sitting in these church pews tonight.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. I'm feeling good right now. That's dangerous. Notice what he said. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to do what? That he might destroy the works of the devil.
Yeah.
If you're writing the notes, that fellowship of his presence, when he manifests himself, there's delight in that manifestation.
Yes.
There's deliverance in that manifestation. You ready for this? There's destruction. He'll destroy. He'll not only deliver you from your sin, he'll destroy the path that keeps carrying you back to living in it over and over and over, He can give complete victory over sin. Preacher, I just can't keep watching things with nudity and vulgarity, and I just can't stop that. You can if the Lord manifests Himself to you. Oh, that's right. That's exactly right. Preacher, I just can't keep letting them words, they just keep flying out of my mouth. I can't even stop them. You can if you get a manifestation of the Lord. He'll not only give you delight and give you deliverance, He'll destroy that work of the devil in your life. You'll walk on in victory. But you can't have that if you don't let the Lord get in line to where the Lord can manifest Himself to your life. Amen. Y'all know I could preach right there. You know I could. The hindrances and the expectances. I think what the Lord's going to let me do, we're going to pray here. We're going to pray for 10 minutes and 2 minutes, all right? I think after youth meeting, the Lord's going to let me embark on instances of these manifestations. He's been manifesting Himself to His children for a long, long time. And we want to look at some instances and some illustrations that pattern it out, things we can learn from. Amen. Beyond what we've looked at tonight, what are some instances where the Lord did it for Moses? Amen. And the Lord did it for Abraham. And the Lord did it for Daniel and the three Hebrew boys and even His disciples at times. And look at some instances. I think that's the way, if the Lord will continue to give us some direction in that we're going to go. We need the Lord to manifest Himself. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to gather on the altar and we're going to pray. In fact, Candy, would you come to the piano, set a timer. I want you to stop at 8:30, all right? That's going to give us about 9 or 10 minutes if we get right after it, all right? She's going to stop playing at 8:30. Would you join me in prayer for 10 minutes tonight to end the service? And I want us to pray. Pray for one another. But please, be making your way. Spend the majority of your time tonight praying, Lord, manifest Yourself. Lord, please manifest Yourself. And I want you to ask Him to do it for you and your family. But I want you to ask Him to do it for our church. And in particular, we're getting ready to go into the meeting on this coming Sunday night through Wednesday night. Lord, manifest Yourself. Lord, please manifest Yourself in the youth revival this coming week. We sure do need that. Now, while you're down here praying, if the Lord spoke to your heart about anything in the truths given to you tonight, you get those things right and ready, okay? Candy's going to play till 8:30. When you hear the music stop, then we'll be done praying. And let's call on the Lord tonight, all right?